Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey Southeast Chapter of Score, here is your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. In 2020, small businesses had a rapid shift to remote work out of necessity due to the COVID-19 pandemic. With the crisis finally ebbing in the United States, there seems to be a newfound fondness for working from home. So the question is, where are employees, especially small business employees, going to work from in 2022 and beyond? Following the steps of Google and the German bank Deutsche Bank, many small businesses are pivoting to the much-hyped hybrid work model, an approach that allows employees to split their time between working on-site and working remotely, usually from home. That's according to a GetApp.com hybrid work survey. The survey found that 70% of decision makers at small businesses currently using a hybrid work model say they plan to remain hybrid when the pandemic is over. Of those who are currently working remote, 29% will join the hybrid model. And, even more amazing, 12% that are currently working on-site will join the hybrid model. That marks a shift to hybrid work the likes of which we've never seen before. What is interesting is that in May of 2022, Tesla chairman Elon Musk stunned the world by announcing that Tesla employees must return to the office full-time or lose their jobs. Moreover, as the leaked Musk email pointed out, Tesla employees were expected to work a minimum of 40 hours a week on-site. But the Musk mandate is already backfiring. Fortune reported that other companies are already moving in to poach Tesla's best employees. Indeed, Musk may be swimming against a global tidal wave of employee sentiment about how work gets done. Almost a year ago, Forbes published an article called The Great Resignation: Why Employees Don't Want to Go Back to the Office. People have cited commuting times as the number one reason they want to work from home. It's clear, despite widespread initial pushback, many organizations have come to realize that offering their employees the opportunity to work remotely may not be a choice, but a necessity to remain competitive and relevant. Small businesses are grappling with this reality as well. Though small business employees at the top and bottom of the org chart agree on common hybrid work challenges, they disagree on the best approach to hybrid work. There are five common hybrid work setups. 1, at will. Every employee can choose where they work during the week. 2, work-based. Employees either work on-site full-time or work remotely full-time based on job requirements. 3, split week. All employees work on-site part of the week and remotely part of the week. 4, remote first. Remote work is the default option aside from a handful of selected employees that work on-site. And 5, on-site first. On-site work is the default option aside from a handful of selected employees that work remotely. When asked which one they preferred, staff employees most often picked the at-will model. Business owners, on the other hand, picked the at-will model the least. Instead, they preferred the work-based model. While the at-will model gives employees the most freedom and flexibility, it also requires an immense amount of trust from leadership. Trust they might not be able to give so easily, especially in the case of new hires. This approach can also create two groups of employees: an in-group of employees that prefer to work mostly on-site and an out-group of employees that prefer to work mostly from home, which raises concerns about visibility and inclusion. The more rigid work-based model has its disadvantages, too. It forces employees to spend all of their time in an environment that doesn't work best with their preferences and needs. These employees may grow resentful of coworkers in other roles or departments that get to work in their ideal location. A mix of on-site and remote work strikes a better balance between these two extremes. But even here, owners and employees disagree on the best solution. When asked how many days per week they prefer employees to work on-site, 69% of owners said they prefer workers to be on-site at least 3 days or more. Meanwhile, 76% of employees say they'd prefer to be on-site 3 days a week at most. Whatever hybrid direction small businesses decide to go in, effective communication from leadership regarding how employees benefit from the shift will be needed to prevent backlash or high voluntary turnover. The benefits of hybrid work are clear. When done right, it gives employees the flexibility they exceedingly crave and allows the business to literally get the best of both worlds. But can it be done right? What results can hybrid small businesses expect to achieve, and what challenges will they face in getting them? When the securities firm Goldman Sachs reopened their offices on February 1, 2022, only half of its 10,000 employees showed up in person. This was in defiance of the CEO's order, who had called remote work, quote, a temporary aberration a year earlier. This aberration benefited Goldman Sachs. The company reported record earnings for the first quarter of 2021. Nevertheless, for Goldman Sachs, a fully remote or hybrid workplace scenario was apparently not an option. Like Goldman Sachs, many large organizations have reported tremendous results with a significant part of their workforce working remotely. Yet, they still struggle or outright refuse to give in to the employees' demands to continue remote work to some degree. So what about small and family businesses? How are they faring with the workforce's changing demands regarding workplace flexibility? We're learning that small and family businesses struggle more than publicly owned companies and young startups with the idea of a remote and hybrid workplace. The exact reasons are not really clear, but we can assume these factors play a role. The strong connection that small and family business owners have with their employees, the importance they place on values, and the personal interactions that nurture their culture. Smaller companies may suffer the most from this attitude. They already struggle in the war for talent. They have trouble attracting younger workers who want a more flexible work environment. Whether you embrace the idea of a hybrid workplace or feel some ambivalence, it's a workplace model that's here to stay. I've already given you some statistics from the GetApp.com Hybrid Work Survey. Here are some more stats from the Remote Work and Compensation Pulse Survey conducted by Salary.com in 2021. It showed that 44% of workers want a hybrid work option. 48% prefer to be fully remote. That means that 92% of employees surveyed want to have some sort of remote work as an option. Meanwhile, Microsoft's 2022 Work Trends Index reports that 52% of those surveyed say they're likely to consider switching to either hybrid or remote work. When you think about it, these numbers point to another new reality. Many of today's workers are willing to make sacrifices or give up their current jobs to fulfill the desire for more flexible work. For example, in 2021, Owl Labs reported that 46% of employees were willing to take a 5% cut in pay to have a hybrid work option. And remember the 2022 Work Trends Index? Well, it reported that the lack of flexible working options was one of the top five reasons employees quit last year. So how do we define a hybrid work model? In a hybrid work model, employees work partly in the physical workspace designated by the company, the office, and partly at home or another workspace. While most of the discourse mostly focuses on the where, the when is another important consideration for businesses considering making a change. The level of flexibility can range widely. Some companies may require their employees to come in on certain workdays during regular work hours, 9 to 5. Others may allow their employees to work from anywhere, anytime, with a few optional in-person gatherings throughout the year. We already know that many global companies have long used remote collaboration very successfully. The sudden rise of remote working caused by the pandemic, in combination with widely available and effective video conferencing technology, made this form of work a reality that many employees never thought possible. In another study done by Gallup in 2022 of more than 140,000 U.S. employees, 59% preferred a hybrid environment, and 32% preferred a fully remote work environment. This is a significant change. Before the pandemic, 60% preferred to work fully on-site, down to 9% in 2022. What is interesting is that the study also highlights that employees' need to feel connected to coworkers and the organization remains vital, with a significant part of fully remote workers, 38%, preferring hybrid work. This employee desire to work remotely and the company's desire to have system stability and increasing overall performance puts them at odds. However, for many employees, the advantages of a more flexible workplace far outweigh the disadvantages. Let me give you a few examples. Avoiding commute time. With commuting hours being lost time spent neither at work nor home, the reduction is seen favorably in terms of hours gained. Cost savings. Not only do hybrid and remote workers save money not commuting, especially with the current gas prices, they also save money by preparing lunches at home and not having to invest money in workplace attire. Health and well-being. Hybrid work environments are associated with health benefits, such as an overall well-being, better sleep, improved mental health, and lower levels of burnout as compared to traditional work settings. If you're still unsure whether a hybrid work model would work well for your business, weigh the pros and cons. Some advantages of the hybrid work model are: opening positions to remote employees means having access to global and local talent. You can be more selective in the hiring process to ensure you attract candidates with exceptional skills. You may even have team members working in different time zones, which means your business will keep operating even if your physical offices are closed. Flexibility to work from home or the office maximizes your team's productivity and engages remote employees. One of the most apparent benefits of using a hybrid work model is the reduction in overhead. Fewer employees in the physical workplace means you can downsize to a smaller office and spend less on rent and utilities. Some disadvantages of a hybrid work model: while it has many benefits, working remotely creates isolation and a sense of disconnect from the on-site team. Although it can be advantageous, a difference in the time zones can cause management problems if your company relies on constant communication. When working with a distributed workforce, you need to communicate more. You may primarily use messenger apps, video calls, and emails to keep in touch with your remote employees, which requires exceptional communication skills and consistent check-in on both sides. Additionally, your on-site employees may get more opportunities for promotions or preferential treatment simply because they are in the same location as the managers. What does this mean for the small business owner? Offering a hybrid work option can help you retain valued employees and attract new talent, but managing such a workplace presents a host of other challenges. What can be done by the small business owner to help in the transition? First, get over it and on it. Ignoring the writing on the wall by reminiscing about the times when everyone spent their days in the office indicates a lack of vision and leadership. The demand for more flexible work arrangements will not subside. This is not a temporary aberration. Hybrid work is here to stay. The quicker you acknowledge its role in attracting and retaining key talent, the better you set yourself up for success. A dedicated task force, reporting to a high-level manager, or even better, directly to the business owner, could facilitate this process effectively. Second, develop a hybrid work policy. Clear exceptions are at the heart of a successful hybrid work environment. They help your remote workers understand their roles and responsibilities within this more than non-traditional work environment. Start with your employees when developing your policy. Knowing their preferences and how they work will determine your rules and procedures. The process could start by surveying the workforce to assess people's needs around the workplace flexibility. Alternatively, you could use a focus group. What kind of work flexibility do they have in mind? What would be beneficial? How many days a week would they want to work from home? What infrastructure might they need? What activities or meetings would benefit from or require them to be physically present? Based on employee replies, the organization could assess its needs for office space and infrastructure. They should think about which roles can be easily performed remotely and which roles may need some adjustments made to them. Areas your hybrid workplace policy could address include core work hours. Establish the core hours during which remote employees are expected to be online. As an example, you may want everyone to be available on weekdays between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. a hybrid work schedules. Outline the different hybrid schedules available within your workplace and what each type of schedule involves. Address issues like the ability to change to a fully remote option if an employee moves out of state. Remote locations. If a remote employee doesn't want to work from home, are co-working spaces or local coffee shops acceptable? Will you offer a stipend for a co-work space? Establishing guidelines in this area will make your policy clear and reduce potential misunderstandings. Cybersecurity. Hackers constantly look for ways into corporate systems and networks. Inadequate security measures can wreak havoc on your systems. As you inevitably use more technology when implementing a hybrid work model, you must plan to invest more in cybersecurity and tech support. Make sure each of your employees follows your company's security protocols, whether they're working in the office or remotely. Set security rules concerning access and usage of the technology you're providing. For example, what kind of security is required on company laptops? Will employees need to use a VPN to access their internal systems? Third, include employee well-being in productivity goals. You may worry that offering a hybrid work option will negatively impact employee productivity. But it turns out that remote work may have the opposite effect. Productivity increased during the pandemic when many businesses had to rely on a largely remote workforce. There's a high cost to this increased productivity, though. Monster, the job search site, found that 69% of employees who worked from home during the pandemic experienced burnout. Productivity goals are important for every business. The key is to establish how to reach these goals to avoid employee burnout. For example, response time. One of the drawbacks of remote work is the always-on mindset, which can be a significant factor in employee burnout. Consider setting guidelines regarding what types of communications require immediate responses and which ones do not. This would ease the pressure of feeling like an instant reply is always necessary. Reduce Zoom fatigue. A study by Verteria Consulting found that 49% of employees reported exhaustion stemming from the number of video calls they attended during the pandemic. One way to combat this potential for burnout is to ensure meetings are only called when necessary. Also, aim for shorter meetings rather than longer. And recent research from the Harvard Business Review found that being on camera during virtual meetings had a positive correlation to Zoom fatigue. Respect personal time. Monitor for the effect of the triple peak day. This term refers to a trend that finds remote staff consistently working outside of traditional work hours. While some employees consider this a perk of remote work, you need to ensure your remote team doesn't feel like work is encroaching on their personal time. Fourth, create a remote inclusive community. While there are many benefits to working remotely from home, there are certain downsides too. The most common one, not being seen around the office, which means an employee may not be top of mind when it comes to new opportunities. Here are some ways to create a more remote, inclusive community for your hybrid workforce. Events. Include remote staff in your company events. For example, if you're holding a company-wide lunch, send gift cards for meal delivery services to remote employees so they can join in. And even if an event is on location only, your remote team should be invited so they know they have the option to attend in person. Digital water cooler. Staying connected while still retaining the ability to work from home is one of the top reasons employees seek hybrid work options. Establishing different digital spaces that can serve as online water coolers, such as special Slack channels, can provide that connection on the days employees are working remotely. More one-on-one connections. Foster individual connection through more frequent one-on-ones and mentorship opportunities. Your one-on-ones also allow you to stay on top of how your remote staff is handling the hybrid environment. Fifth, make communication a priority. Communication has a significant impact on employee satisfaction. But here's the challenge for the hybrid work environment. According to Gallup, most companies don't communicate well even in the traditional on-site workspace. This means communication becomes even more of a priority when managing a hybrid workplace. Some of the ways you can focus on communications include the huddle.
Incorporate team huddles into your daily or weekly routine so everyone stays up to date on the latest project happenings. Status updates. Establish a message or chat channel on Teams or Slack for daily status updates. Shorter one-on-ones. Opt for more frequent and shorter one-on-ones over less frequent, longer ones. Hold these meetings on a regular schedule to provide consistent support. Asynchronicity. Increase opportunity for asynchronous communications. That's communications that don't need an immediate response, where such communications make sense. Sixth, establish hybrid meeting guidelines. Meetings that include in-person and remote participants can be particularly challenging. So what's the best way to approach them? Develop and distribute hybrid meeting guidelines in advance. This way, all participants know what to expect and how the meeting will be facilitated. As you develop your guidelines, place yourself in the shoes of your remote participants. What will they see and hear, and how will they be seen and heard? You may also want to consider adding some of the following. In-room perspective. Ask in-person participants to log in individually so they're on screen too, or set up additional webcams so remote attendees can see everyone in the room as well as any non-digital visuals, such as whiteboards. You should also let remote participants know how they will be seen and heard by on-location attendees. Pre- and post-meetings. The first person to enter the physical meeting space should start the meeting online so remote participants can join in the pre-meeting chats. And when the meeting ends, allow time for everyone to talk and say their goodbyes. Time zone differences. Make an effort to accommodate different time zones when scheduling meetings and calls, rather than expecting remote participants outside your time zone to block off personal time for meetings. Rules of conduct. Establish a meeting etiquette policy, such as the procedure for taking turns, what the moderator's tasks include, and what constitutes proper attire. Use the CHARM framework. That means chat, hand-raising, agenda, recording, moderator, and support as a starting point. And finally, leadership is the key to a successful transformation. The 2 years of global crisis have highlighted the importance of empathetic and effective leadership. Leaders have aligned and organized their teams and organizations under crushing pressure. The unprecedented economic challenges have mostly been mastered well. It is the very success of our ability to adapt that now makes it impossible to return to the old normal. It's true that hybrid work makes organizing more complex, not less, with the additional degrees of freedom as to when and where the work is being done. The old command and control leadership model must be discarded. Leaders now have a new and urgent challenge in this uncertain global economy and labor market, setting the standards for leadership in a hybrid setting that balances business outcomes with the new expectations of the workforce. Hybrid work requires small business owners to be closer and more connected with the employees. Systematized personal feedback that motivates the employees to upskill, engage, and contribute to the team's efforts becomes essential. And business owners themselves need to broaden their skill set in this field to better understand how their employees' brains respond to feedback. Also, it is essential that business owners truly understand what their employees need from them in order to independently reach their goals. This is a fundamentally different leadership concept than telling someone what to do. Leading in this new work setting means coordinating, delegating, and empowering. Secondly, in a hybrid setting, leading by time and attendance control is even less effective than it was before. However, the innate need to have orientation of what's going on stands at the core of leadership. Some feel the key may lie in leading with measurable objectives and key results that support the overall objective. A very successful methodology is OKR, Objectives and Key Results, which gives business owners the confidence that the team is achieving its goals. The concept makes obligations between owner and employee transparent and binding. Thirdly, just like anywhere else, common sense goes a long way. Instead of having a rigid hybrid work policy formalized in a 30-page document, go for a simple one-pager that clarifies basic principles and exceptions. In the end, it goes back to trust. Do you trust your employees to be committed to the success of the organization and the well-being of their colleagues, to have integrity, and to perform their role to the best of their abilities? If you do, then it does not matter where they work from. If you do not have trust in your employees, the issues go far beyond a hybrid work policy. In 2020, small businesses had their hand forced on remote work due to a once-in-a-century pandemic. In 2021, they felt as though their hand was being forced once again. In the GetApp survey, a majority of small business employees, 53%, say they are moderately or extremely likely to consider looking for a new job if they aren't offered some type of flexible work arrangement where they could work from home at least part of the time. It's clear that if you don't go hybrid or fully remote, the risk of top talent going elsewhere is very real. But even if your transition to hybrid work is employee-driven, that doesn't mean your business can't benefit long-term. Though there are unique challenges to going hybrid for small businesses, the payoff in engagement, retention, and simply embracing the future of work are worth it. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's a topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit southeastnj.score.org, southeastnj.score.org. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.